steep path up from Jericho toward Jerusalem. Jesus and his band can see the hills of the great city and the welcome gleam of sunlight on the marble and golden temple with fortress and palaces beyond. There will be no unused bed in Jerusalem this night, for the city has swelled by thousands for Passover holiday. By prearrangement, Jesus and his party stop short of the city in the village of Bethany and turn in at the home of their good friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. A welcome always awaits them there. This night, even more so, a feast has been prepared by the villagers, a feast of thanksgiving and joy. For only months before, Jesus had come and restored the life of their neighbor and friend, Lazarus, in the most astounding miracle of all. And this is the night to say thank you and to celebrate life. So in the shadow of the city, which has put a price on his head, Jesus draws strength from his friends. It was now almost time for the celebration of Passover, and many people from the country arrived in Jerusalem several days early so they could go through the cleansing ceremony before the Passover began. They wanted to see Jesus, and as they talked in the temple, they asked each other, "What do you think? Will he come for the Passover?" Meanwhile, the leading priests and Pharisees had publicly announced that anyone seeing Jesus must report him immediately so they could arrest him. 6 days before the Passover ceremonies began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, Lazarus sat at the table with him, and then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance.
What a night. I had to slip out and come out for a breath of fresh air. That perfume my sister had poured over the master's head and feet totally overcome us all. The court was already so full of guests and onlookers, we could barely move. Now we can hardly breathe. It's a perfect night. I tell you, the weather is perfect. All my friends are here. Martha's dinner was wonderful, as always. And Mary topped it off by giving Jesus the most expensive and fragrant gift. She was saving it, you know. The nard oil, I mean. It's been in the family since we were children. She didn't even use it when I died. That should tell you how deep her love for Jesus is. We all feel that way. Martha and I were totally happy that she spent it all on the Lord on this one special night. We could never give a gift to Jesus large enough to pay him for what he gave me, or us, when he gave me back my life. A man just can't put a price on life.
But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a small fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief who was in charge of the disciples' funds, and he often took some for his own use. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did it in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but I will not be here with you much longer."
Of course, Judas had to almost ruin it all. And he had a point. The nard oil could have been sold and the price used for benevolent causes. God knows there's enough hungry people in the city who would have been happy to share its worth. But we do give to the poor. Every good Jew gives alms. This was different. Jesus understood, as always, and defended Mary's lavish gift of love to her Lord. There has always been such a bond between those two, Mary and Jesus. They seem to understand one another to a depth most of us cannot share. He says she did it for his burial. Burial? How can the one who gave life to me himself be planning to die? He is life. He told us so. And Jesus has never been more popular than he is now. Why, those people in there, they're talking about making him king in place of Herod. They even want to make a celebrity out of me. And I've done nothing but be a friend to Jesus. No, Jesus, this is not a time to die. This party is just getting started.
When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus.
I find it interesting how much we hear about this family in the Gospels. Outside of the apostles, I think these three may be mentioned more than any others. It leads me to conclude that they were pretty special to Jesus, and that he enjoyed a close relationship with the entire family. We know that when Lazarus died, Jesus wept before he raised him up to new life. We also know that one time when Jesus came for dinner, that Mary sat at his feet listening, soaking it all in, while Martha was stressed and trying to be like Rachel Ray or Martha Stewart with the perfect meal, the perfect table, the perfect hostess. It is unusual in such a patriarchal culture where women were mostly viewed as property that these two women feature as much as they do in the telling of Jesus' story. In our scripture reading surrounding the character of Lazarus, we have another dinner engagement with Jesus. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There's something about having dinner with Jesus. It might be life-transforming, it might be tumultuous, but it was certainly never boring. And this meal occasion is no exception. Jesus and his disciples are having dinner in Bethany with three of his dearest friends. Then one gets up from the table and does something unusual, something that is startling to the others. Except for Jesus. Mary gets up, brings an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, essence of nard, coming from the Himalayan or Indian region. It came from the root of the plant and was therefore very expensive. It is speculated that a jar of pure nard like this one would cost a year's wages for the average person in those times. Mary got up quietly, with no pronouncements. Maybe she'd hoped she could give this gift to her master and friend without too much being made of it. But the fragrance is strong, and the others gathered around probably saw and heard her weeping as she anointed his feet. Jesus tells the others that she has done this for his death. It was part of the burial ritual to anoint the deceased person's body with oils and spices. So she and he both understood this gift. Mary gave him the most lavish expression of her love that she could. She also grieved because she loved him and she understood what he was about to do when he went to Jerusalem. Many of the disciples had remained in denial about it all, even though Jesus had been telling them what was going to happen. But Mary knows. She knows. Even from her first encounter with her, we see that she sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. She knows somehow that she is in the presence of the divine. She knows that this is the Son of God. And here we see her saying goodbye to her dear friend. She is giving him a send-off, so to speak, and she becomes emotionally overwhelmed by it all. Mary knows. She understands the magnitude of the coming sacrifice that Jesus is about to give to all the world. They were already friends But when she begins to comprehend his gift, his sacrifice, her love for him grows. And she understands that no gift is too lavish or extravagant to give in return. Mary gives not just expensive perfume. She gives her heart and her love to her dear friend. It seems a common custom in our day and time that when a new year begins, we make resolutions. Now, my husband has tried to resolve to not take out the trash or to try and give that up for Lent, but I never let him. We decide at the beginning of a new year that we're going to do something different, we're going to be better about something, we're going to quit something unhealthy and or start something that is healthy. What do you suppose is the number one resolution made each year in the U.S.? Weight loss. For us in the church, Lent is kind of like a spiritual new year. It is that time to reflect on our faith life, our journey with Jesus, and to recognize where we may be unhealthy spiritually, or simply stagnant and not growing. This time before Easter can be for us a time for renewal, like a cleansing ceremony. We have the chance to wash off the past and give ourselves a fresh start. We are here, so that's a good beginning. We know what Mary understood, that Jesus would give his life on the cross to take away our sin and reunite us with God. Do we have a sense, as Mary did, of just how great this gift is? Or has it become old hat for us? Do we go through the motions of prayer, singing, and communion? Yes, I know. Jesus died for me and I'll get to go to heaven. But in the meantime, I've got dishes to wash, a kid to get to baseball practice, and so many other demands on me. God understands. God will have to wait. Is this where I find myself? Putting God on hold until I have some free time, and then maybe giving some to him if I'm not too tired or get a more interesting offer? What kind of love is this? Lord, I want to be more like Mary. Not so much the crying and wiping feet with my hair apart, but giving fully to Jesus of my heart and my life, without reservation, uninhibited, and fully in love with Christ, my Savior and my God. I know that no gift on this earth can compare with God's gift to us through Jesus the Christ, his Son. But maybe, just maybe, while I am on this earth, maybe this Lent, I can strive to be a little more like Mary. Maybe I can let go of some inhibitions that keep me from connecting in a personal way with the poor and the marginalized. Maybe I can re-examine my schedule and my priorities and write in pen, not in pencil, a time for God every day, even if it's a short time, and keep that appointment. Maybe I can take Mary as my role model and be more generous with my resources, with my time, with my love. It's not too late to start fresh. It's not too late to grow and learn. It's not too late to live for the love of Jesus and to let it shine through me and share it with others.